Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving me the floor, and I understand that I have something about 20 minutes to say something, so I'll try to be very brief. I want to greet all my friends in the room, and special greeting because we are all concerned about Indonesia, so I may hope that we all have a same shared responsibility and obligation to constructively discuss with each other the future of this archipelago. As a member of the Presidium Dewan Papua, I will also to extend the greetings from West Papua to all of you, participants to the seminar. We have done our best to invite two other members from West Papua to come, but for many reasons they could not come because there was a huge U.S. delegation visiting West Papua, so they want to concentrate on the ambassador visit rather than leaving West Papua for the European Union. And also they have in March received 13 ambassadors from the European Union in West Papua with regards to the special autonomy. Allow me to take you back in the recent history of West Papua in relationship to in Indonesia. I may recall that in 1998, the Reformasi era entered into Indonesia, which basically signaled to the people in Indonesia that there is a new wind of change. The West Papuans have taken up the opportunity to visit President Habibie in 1999 with Team 100, Team 100. Under the leadership of Tom Beyanal, students, church leaders, cultural leaders, women, youth, they all went to Habibie and they have only one request to Habibie: we want independence, Merdeka. Habibie said, why don't you go back and think about it? We did, we went back, we think about it, and in February 2000, we organized a Musyawara Besar, a great consultation in Jayapura, in which we once again reiterate our position: we don't want to be part of Indonesia. Subsequently, in June 2000, we organized the Second Papua People Congress. We call it the Second Congress because the first Congress was in 19 October 1961 in West Papua, where we have declared the flag to be our national flag, the national anthem Haitanaku Papua, to name our land West Papua, and we want to decolonize ourselves from the Dutch. And that is the process that we have started in 1961. So at the second Papua Congress in Jayapura, we call upon that decision again and reiterate this political point. So we finalize our Congress with this demand to the central government that we want to separate ourselves from the Unitarian State of Indonesia through a peaceful, political, transparent dialogue. Under the leadership of President Wahid, there was a lot of room for expression of our aspirations. Unfortunately, with the present leadership under Megawati, we are traveling back to 1945, which means that the spirit of the Unitarian State, not allowing any other opinion within the state, is now again lively in West Papua. We can measure that through the process of what we call OTSUS, autonomy khusus, special autonomy. When we call for independence, the Indonesian government thinks the answer to independence is special autonomy, meaning that the Indonesian central government does not understand the feelings in Papua province. And that has been the attitude from the central government for the last four decades, is ignorance, stubbornness, and deaf ears to the human rights abuses that is happening in West Papua. I may assure you that until this very day, there is no one human rights abuse being prosecuted by the central government. As a show of confidence to their own people, if we are Indonesians, that indeed there is one law and is applicable equally to everyone in the Indonesian state. Unfortunately, it's not the case. Even with the killing of my chairman, late Tes Hio Eloi, until today we still have to wait for the government to announce who did the killing, who ordered the killing, and who masterminded the killing. Now, when I am invited to talk about Indonesia between autonomy, special autonomy, and military rule, I was very much challenged by the title, because actually we have to speak about civil rule, which is special autonomy, and military rule, which is the autonomous military system. Because they are a kingdom and a kingdom. They are a state within a state. And that's why I think it's very important to not only to see how we can proceed with the noble principles of democracy, human rights, supremacy of law, if we cannot tackle the army, if we cannot tackle the military structure. Because I don't think Indonesia needs a military rule. But I do understand that we inherit the spirit and the ghost of Suharto era, which is the KKN under the leadership of the military. Unless we get rid of that, we will never get a civil rule which will respect all citizens' rights. And that is one of the reasons why we in the province Papua have politically rejected special autonomy, because we are not asking for special autonomy, we are asking for political independence and through a peaceful dialogue. And we have written a letter to Bambang Yudhoyono, Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono, on the 15th of December 2001 to call upon him again as the Minister for Coordination and Political Affairs to discuss with us certain issues that are vital for the West Papuans if you want us to remain under Indonesia. One of the things I already mentioned to you is the human rights abuses for so many years. The second thing is that we have a political dispute with Indonesia why we become part of Indonesia. Because it's not of our making, it's not of our own choice to be part of Indonesia. And we challenge the Indonesian government and the Indonesian parliament to discuss openly with us how come West Papua become part of Indonesia. We have never had a valid chance to exercise our right to self-determination, to declare for ourselves freely and openly and democratically that we really want to be part of Indonesia. Now, we are calling for the central government to explore ways and means to discuss with us our differences and maybe also some commonalities. But I do think that we cannot have a genuine dialogue if we want to work for a peaceful solution. So the ball is in the corner of Jakarta, and I'm hopeful that Jakarta have enough common sense to understand that unless we are engaged in a dialogue, we don't need to enter into conflict, because the era of Suharto is also an era where all of us have inherited a lot of conflicts. And we need to solve all this conflict at the various levels and the various parts of Indonesia. Even in Jakarta, they have a lot of conflicts. But let's be sure that unless we start build on the basis of a good open dialogue, if not, it will not be difficult. So it's my personal opinion that we need to, and I agree with my brother from Aceh, that we need to look for ways and means to demilitarize Indonesia. As we said, KKN has become darah daging. It's become part and parcel of Indonesia. So we need to get rid of the KKN spirit. We need to demilitarize Indonesia, because the army has its own vested interest. It's why they can remain powerful. They can get their funds from illegal logging. They can get the funds from so-called security offers to companies. So that's where we have to stop the army, and we need to demilitarize. I know it will not be easy, but if we never start, we'll never get anywhere. And the other point that I think is also very, very important in this process is the process of reconciliation. We need to reconcile. We cannot look back in anger, but we have to look in future with some confidence, and if we want to build confidence, we have to be open for reconciliation. And we can only get to the reconciliation phase if we are ready to discuss any human rights abuses in Indonesia. As I said, until this very day, there is no human rights prosecution for the abuses occurred in Papua since the 1st of May 1963. We are almost 40 years down the road. No one has been brought to trial. How can you expect the West Papuans to trust and believe the central government? There is no reason for them to trust the government, because no one has been trialed for that. So it's logic that they are calling for political independence. We don't have shares in the NKRI. And if we have share, we will be very worried what will happen. As we said in Papua, kita tidak ada saham di dalam Indonesia. Kalau kita ada saham di Indonesia, kita tetap tinggal di dalam Indonesia. Tetapi kita tidak ada saham, guna apa kita tinggal di dalam Indonesia? So that's for us very important to understand that we want to discuss an open manner with the government. But if the government does not care about us, why should we care about the government? The Otsus is a different story, special autonomy. It's another way of how the government try to manipulate the sentiments coming from the region. If we say, and I've already stated that to the KBRI, kita di Indonesia ada 32 lumpia spesial, 320 lumpia, di mana ada 2 lumpia spesial, satu untuk Aceh, satu untuk Papua. Papua isi dia punya yang semua enak, kirim ke Jakarta, Jakarta operasi dan isi apa yang Jakarta mau dan lupa apa yang Papua mau. In other words, we have 32 spring rolls in Indonesia, 2 special, 1 for Aceh, 1 for West Papua. When we put our ingredients in it, we bring it to Jakarta. Jakarta operated and sent it back again with the Jakarta ingredients. They don't listen to what we are saying. They don't care of what we are saying. So how come we can stay in this unitarian state? So apparently, and I think that's very important, Jakarta should also realize that they have been discriminating my province, my people, for 4 decades. If I tell you that there is apartheid, you won't believe it. But please come to West Papua, you will see with your own eyes that is apartheid. How can we become children of one family if we are being treated like stepchildren? Impossible, impossible. Now, in this situation where it's easy to have an open conflict, we are asking the government to listen and to talk to us. Imagine, they have treated us very badly for 4 decades, still we are asking for a dialogue. And we are hopeful that the government will really listen to our voices, to our grievances, so we can come to a durable solution in this respect. And again, I must stress, we can only reconcile with the central government if all those human rights abuses have been brought to justice. And I mean from the 1st of May 1963 till today. And if they are not brought to justice, then we have no reason to believe that the Otsus will be the solution, the special autonomy will be the solution to the problems in West Papua. No way. It will not be the problem. Because again, the government should challenge itself, come down and listen to what we have to say. We may look stupid, but we are not stupid. We understand our own situation very clearly, and we are saying what the government should do. So that's why I think it's important for our organization to be engaged in the dialogue. And now, not the West Papuans are saying that. If we look at the United States government, the ambassador said, we will not support separatism, we will support the integrity of Indonesia. If you look to the European Union, they say, we will not support separatism, we will support the sovereignty, integrity of Indonesia. But you have to be a democratic country, you have to respect human rights, you have to have supremacy of law. Now, how can this be implemented if the army is still playing a big role in civic society? Now, unless there is a democratic changes, substantial fundamental changes in Indonesia, only then we can play our role as civic society. Yes, we want to promote democracy, but on the basis of our right to self-determination, which not necessarily mean political independence. It can also mean social economic development, so that we are not backward in our province. We have gold, we have gas, we have oil, everything is sponsoring Jakarta, and we are left alone with nothing. This is an injustice for 40 years. Now we are calling upon the government, let's sit down and discuss and talk. And if you don't do it, then we can easily go for separation. The funny thing is that although it's not wholehearted granted the special autonomy, the government gives us the autonomy, but they send the army as well. Now, that is something we don't understand. That is something we don't understand. Special autonomy is liberties and freedom, and then you send the army to hit us when we speak freely about things. Because in Papua, there is no enemy of the Indonesians. There is no enemy in a democratic Indonesia. The enemy is Papua New Guinea. The enemy is Philippines. The enemy is Australia. The enemy is Malaysia, Singapore, or India. But in Indonesia, there are no enemies. So it does not justify the army. So there is no place for the army as such. And all the money we can spend for the army, we can spend for social programs in Indonesia. If you're really genuine to change Indonesia for the better. And we in West Papua are challenging the Indonesian government in an open dialogue. We wrote a letter on the 15th of December 2001, Papua Presidium, to Bambang Yudhoyono. Until today, we have not been engaged in a dialogue. Now, don't Indonesia look surprised if we call upon the United Nations, if we call upon the European Union or international community to get this dialogue going. It is because Jakarta deny any dialogue. That's why we cannot only talk to Jakarta anymore, we have to fight, like in Aceh, like in East Timor, like in Java, everybody has to fight. It's a bit pity that we have to go that way, because it will be a circle of violence, and I don't think Indonesia needs violence nowadays. Indonesia needs a dialogue in which we, genuine dialogue, on the basis of mutual respect and understanding, to find a durable solution for all parties in Indonesia, and I am particularly interested in Papua, so that we can find a solution. As long as we talk, we will not fight. But if we don't talk, you force us to fight. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.